I'm just going to open us up with a word of prayer really quick. And then tonight, I felt like it was important. The Lord's been putting this on my heart very strongly the last few days, that we needed to discuss the economy and to help encourage us. And I just felt like it was really important. It's just been so heavy on my heart, actually, for the last probably 8 or 9 days. So, and then tomorrow I have another word that the Lord has given me that I'm going to share. And so I hope you can join with us tomorrow. But let me open us up with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to share a dream. And I've asked Daryl to share a couple dreams that he's had, and then he'll hand it back over to me, and I'll share a little bit more. And so, Father, I thank you. I thank you for bringing us all together. I thank you, Lord God, that you're with us and that you, Lord God, you hear us when we pray. You answer prayers that are prayed according to your will. And that, Father God, you care about this nation. You care about the children. You care about the people that are on this line. And you care, Lord God, about those that stand in the gap for the nation. You care about families in this hour. You care about the children. You care about what happens to us, not just collectively as a nation, but individually. And I pray that tonight, Lord God, we can be encouraged to stay the course, recognizing your timeline and recognizing the fact that you knew what was coming and you had been preparing your intercessors to stand in the gap in this hour, knowing where we would be this time in history. I thank you, Father. I just thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lift up our faith, O God. In your precious name, amen. So, like I said, I've been praying about the economy every day because, you know, it's been heavy on my heart. And I don't think I'm the only one that feels that heaviness. I think a lot of people are feeling the heaviness over the economy. And I felt as though we should have had a breakthrough by now. So I was really seeking the Lord about this. And I felt something restraining the economy, literally keeping our economic systems bound so that they could thrust us into their planned economic crash. And so as I sought the Lord, he began to bring back visions that he had given me that confirmed that, and or dreams. And then he gave me a word of encouragement, and I'm going to share that tonight. But the first one is really a dream that he gave me during 2020, when we were spending so much time on this line, 3 to 4 nights a week praying over our country. You know, this was during COVID. And so I want to, this speaks to what I just shared. So in this dream, I saw a shipping container in the middle of a field. It was completely fenced in. The grass was overgrown around it with cobwebs from the middle of the container to the ground. It was nighttime, but there were floodlights at the front end of the container, and an armed guard paced back and forth in front of the container to prevent anyone from approaching. I believe that right now we're seeing supplies intentionally withheld from the people, literally rotting in containers rather than releasing it for public use. Companies, you know, they can write off on their taxes as a business loss when things like this happen. While they still maintain the price hikes that we're witnessing on the shelves today. And I believe that God is about to deal with this in a very strong manner, exposing the companies unwilling to bring down the prices to fair market value. Their greedy, ill-gotten gains are about to slip through their fingers. And another issue I see, and Daryl just gave several things about fraud that's being exposed. And I believe that this rampant fraud, the waste and the abuse in DC and in state governments around the country, has to be exposed. When we're in times of prosperity, we don't typically look for ways to cut back. You ever notice that about your own life, your own finances? When you're not in a bind, you're not as frugal with your finances. But the fraud and the waste and the abuse has to be exposed to a certain degree before God will release the blessings. And I think back to 2016, President Trump's first term in office, there was unbelievable blessings. He kept talking about it, the 401ks, increasing and increasing and increasing. And we saw our economy really experience this economic boom. But because there was such an economic boom, we were not looking for the fraud. We were not looking for the waste, and we were not looking for the abuse that takes place by our government of the American taxpayers' dollar. And God is using this season to expose that because He doesn't want us to have a huge economic boom only to have more funding go into waste and abuse and fraud. It's really important that that happens. And so, we need to keep praying for God's divine provision and stability in this time and keep praying for exposure of the fraud and the waste and the abuse. So, Jared, why don't you go ahead and then I'll pick it up afterwards. Go ahead and share the two dreams that you'd had, please.
Okay, so this first dream that I'll be sharing is this is the third time I'll be sharing it now. The first time I shared it was in September 7th, 2023, when we prayed on the corporate line, and then I shared it again sometime later. Since that time, the first part of the dream has been fulfilled, which is disrupted food supply slash services involving SNAP resulting from the government shutdown. The chaos is not over yet, even though SNAP has resumed. The SNAP system is currently being reformed, so we need to continue to pray through the chaos in environment, the food shortages, and the economy. But I'm going to go ahead and reshare that dream right now. So I was viewing traffic on a city block. Cars were bumper to bumper, like you would see when traffic is at a standstill. But this was bumper to bumper with everyone driving fast. It looked chaotic and dangerous. Just then, I saw the trailer of a semi representing food supply slash services detach and roll backwards through the city street in the midst of all that traffic. A crash looked inevitable, but there was no crash. All of a sudden, the scene changed. I was looking at the same city block. Traffic was not busy. Everything was peaceful rather than chaotic, like the previous scene. Interpretation: during a time of chaos, there will be a disruption in food supply, so there will be food shortages. By the way, I think that affected 40-something million people. And it will look like an inevitable economic crash is coming. In the end, the chaos will clear up quickly, relatively speaking, and everything will return to normal. I think what is about to happen will be a big scare to anyone who is out of touch with the Spirit of God. So that's exactly what I shared twice so far. So we've seen a partial fulfillment. In scripture, we often see that there's prophetic words that are fulfilled incrementally. So it's encouraging to see what has taken place and to believe for the rest of it and pray it in. Okay, second dream. I had a dream of a swing set with four empty beige bucket seat swings, the kind you would see at a children's park. When I awoke, I immediately received a very clear word of knowledge. There was a massive money laundering scheme involving children and funding Islam. Later that same day, I saw for the first time the news about the Minnesota money laundering scheme in the Somali community. It involved children and was allegedly funding Al-Shabaab, an Islamic terrorist group. That's when I understood what my dream was about. Here's the interpretation of the four beige bucket seat swings. The bucket seat design symbolized how vulnerable children, completely dependent upon others, were being misused. The swings being empty revealed that the children whose names were used were not actually present. It was all paperwork without real substance. The beige color showed that the scheme looked ordinary and harmless as an attempt to blend in, and the fact that there were four swings pointed to a fully formed multi-branch operation consistent with the scripture's use of four to represent completeness. Example would be Isaiah 11:12. So altogether, these four empty beige bucket seat swings revealed a widespread, deceptive, child-centered fraud. And that's actually exactly what was proven to be the case. So the allegations about Al-Shabaab have not been absolutely proven, but I'm inclined to believe that it's true because the revelation from the Lord was clear. It funded Islam. And that much is certain, whether or not it was Al-Shabaab. So the dream's important because it shows us that it has God's attention, that it's important to him, and that his will is clear, and it should produce confidence in us as we pray. 1 John 5:14 and 15. Okay, back to you, Ricky.
Thank you so much, Daryl. I felt like it was very important that Daryl share those because we are seeing these things come about. So I'm going to share another dream that I had. It's actually going to be a couple of dreams and a vision. And at the end, I'm going to share a word that the Lord had given Mom in June of this year. Okay, so this dream that I'm about to share, I had just recently. It was over the Thanksgiving break, November 26th. I had this. In the dream, I saw what looked like a subway car with workers sitting expectantly, waiting for the call to go to work. They were all in pajamas. The car was not moving. There were both blue-collar and white-collar workers in the subway. This happened day after day. Some began to show the fatigue that comes from waiting for that call to return to work, but it wasn't a severe fatigue. Like, they weren't getting depressed, and they were still expectant. I closed my eyes in the dream, and then I opened them and saw the next scene. The same people were on the subway, and it was moving quickly now. They were sitting in the exact same position as the first scene. They were all called back to work at one time. They were smiling and appropriately dressed for work, briefcases and lunch pails in hand, and the air was jubilant. Hillary was also there, Hillary Clinton, but she was in a light blue jumpsuit, and she was not happy at all. It wasn't a pantsuit like she was known for. It was a jumpsuit. You know, I jokingly said I was hoping for an orange jumpsuit, but it was a light blue one. They all left, but Hillary was left alone on this particular subway car. When the doors opened, no one was there, and I woke up. And so as I typed this up, the Lord brought this dream back to me, and there was more to it. So I saw many other subway cars, rows and rows of people through the windows. I could see them through the windows of the subway cars. they were standing on the walkway waiting for the subway train to stop so they could then climb aboard. I was taken from station to station, platform to platform, and I saw this same scene. As the subway car whizzed past them, they waited expectantly for the next train to stop and let them on. The excitement and anticipation of returning to work that filled the stations was beyond description. Now, I had sent that first part to Daryl. I hadn't, because as I was typing this up, I got that last paragraph. The Lord brought that back to me. And he responded with, "The message is a divine reversal. God will break the artificial restraint on the people and restore economic movement, while the political influence symbolized by Hillary will be exposed, upset, and cut off from the nation's forward momentum." And I wholeheartedly agree with that interpretation. Okay, the next one is October 2nd, and this was an economic reversal. I had a dream of our nation, and I shared this, and this was before our GOE in October. I had a dream of our nation. It looked like a trampoline, and it was stretched tightly around an iron frame, and it was in a free fall. Suddenly, a huge steel ball was dropped right into the center. It caused the fabric to be stretched down, 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 almost to its breaking point. It looked as though it would break through the fabric, ripping a hole right in the center of the nation. Suddenly, just before the fabric ripped, the cord that the steel ball was connected to was yanked upward. It reversed course and began traveling upward so quickly it shocked me. It shot up and began pulling the nation up with it. As the nation bounced back, something fell away from it. It was like flaking off. It was ill-gotten gain that's occurred as politicians have authorized higher taxes on the American people to accomplish their agendas and fund those pet projects. The higher the nation went, the more the ill-gotten gain fell away, resulting in a purified economic structure in the land. And I also believe that that has to do with corporations that have profited off of politicians that pass legislation that benefit them and not the mom-and-pop shops. We saw this a lot during COVID. So I saw Doge producing results that were unexpected. It opened the floodgates of resources back into America. These funds went to the restoration of the nation, the restoration of the family. And how is this possible? Because this burden of excessive taxes takes The burden that excessive taxes take upon the people is part of what is forcing families into this two-income family scenario. God wants to lift this burden from the people. We're yoked with the government in a way that's not godly, and he wants to break this off of us. I heard the Lord say, don't worry about the economy. It's going to be tight for just a bit, and then it's going to bounce back and be thrust higher and more stable than you, or meaning we, can even imagine. I saw tariffs bringing in expected revenue. In fact, they reaped great rewards. As I looked across the landscape of society, the burdens upon the people, literally bearing down on society, were lifted from them. I saw the financial burden of government lifted off the shoulders of the people. I never realized before how much the weight of government spending physically bears down on the American taxpayer. Middle class families began purchasing homes to refurbish them. I saw families intentionally returning to the time of the 50s, like where there were single income families that were stable. They worked to create longevity in their wealth, not massive greed infused increase, but longevity for their families. I saw small businesses coming up, mom and pop shops returning, and jobs from a niche that only unburdened creativity can provide in a nation. It began to surpass that which AI is taking from us in the workforce. This will be a breakthrough moment for the country. The oppression of finance hinders people's creativity, and I saw the Lord come and bring breakthrough. It was truly a remarkable golden age of prosperity. And I want to add that this prosperity was not one that leads to excess in material wealth. It was a prosperity that restored that which the cankerworm has eaten. The Lord is not looking to pad our pockets. He wants to restore what the enemy has stolen. Remember that as we see the reversals coming. He wants to restore that which the enemy has stolen. And I sense so strongly there are people that have been deeply burdened, financially oppressed over the last several years. God sees you and He hears your cry. He sees you and He witnesses, He is a witness to your faithfulness to pray even in times of your own suffering. And He will honor what you have sown into our nation. He sees you. And He sees your need. And He wants to intervene. I have more to share. I just want to pray over you. Heavenly Father, I lift up those that have struggled financially. I lift up those who have businesses that have struggled financially in the last several years. I lift up families that have had to pick up extra jobs, side jobs, and things like this in order to just make ends meet. I lift up those that have suffered physically and have had medical bills piling up. I lift up those to you, Lord God, that have struggled during this season where you are dealing with our nation, and they have been so faithful to prayer, and yet they are experiencing financial hardship in the midst of it. And I ask, oh God, for your intervention in their lives. Bring forth your blessing upon them and intervene, O God, in the midst of their struggles. Give them the faith to receive of your blessing and your restoration of that which the cankerworm has eaten. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you see them. Each and every one, you see them. You see those that have given the widow's mite. And I ask, oh God, that you bless them for their great sacrifice. In ways they cannot imagine, bless them. Bless them with spiritual increase. Bless them by meeting their financial needs. Bless them by extending your hand into their families and even bringing home the prodigals. Bless them, O God. For what they have sown into the kingdom of heaven here on earth is seen by their heavenly Father. Demonstrate, O God, your love and your hand in their lives in the coming days and weeks and months. In your precious name. Amen. Okay, the next one I want to share is the ungodly yoking. And this is about income tax. This was a very a brief vision that the Lord gave me. And this was in October. It was October 9th. And the Lord had given me a vision about the yoke of ungodly taxes, that what this yoke presents to the public. It was a simple and quick vision that came with revelation. I saw the man on that income tax owed card from the game Monopoly. He was hunched over and deeply burdened by this huge bag full of cash designated taxes. These taxes produce a weight upon society God never intended us to carry, not to the extent that we do. Every payport Now, I have an advantage just here in my position as a ministry, which I'm going to share with you. Every payroll period, our ministry submits nearly 30% of our own payroll expenses toward payroll taxes. 30%. You know, we have 22 employees. 30% of what goes out just for their salaries goes to taxes. That's insane. Some of this, of course, is our portion as the company, but some are the employees' portion. And in Washington State and California, we have some of the highest taxes. So because of my position here, I have this bird's eye view of the tax system, and I see the payroll tax burden on our people. And it doesn't include the taxes that we pay on everything else, only payroll. I see the property tax burdens, the sales tax, even the service industry tax in places like Washington State. The tax system is full of fraud, waste, and abuse, and it has kept the American people yoked with the government. Should we pay taxes? Yes, reasonable taxes. But everything is taxed in such excess. The Lord is about to deal with this. God is going to break the yoke of taxes off the people. And one of the ways he's going to do this are through the tariffs. This was a God-ordained move. It was wisdom and knowledge. It was discernment that God had given President Trump. The tariffs alone are going to reduce payroll tax greatly in the coming years. You're going to be surprised. I can't tell you how intentional the Lord is at this moment. Today I woke up and the Lord had given me a word, which I'm going to share tomorrow. But every moment has been intentional. Everything he's led us to intercede over for the last 26 years is about to be exposed. It's going to be uprooted and or it's going to be released. The seed of the martyr, Charlie Kirk, has fallen, and the ripple effect of this seed is a catalyst for God to move in the youth, a major source of carrying out God's plans in the days ahead. Why is that important? Because as God resets things in our nation, we're going to need this younger generation to retain and maintain what God is doing. We're going to need them. And Charlie's martyrdom ignited this generation in a way that I don't know what else could have. As tragic as his death is, as tragic as the way he died is, God is using it, and he will use it in the days ahead. He will continue to use it to ignite this generation, that they will come alongside us to retain and maintain what God is doing. And this last one that I'm going to share is from Mom, and this is from June of 2025. And she saw an angel flying a tug jet. I saw an angel flying a tug jet. He was doing it to guide the owner of another jet the size of a 747 through the storm. The angel was guiding the 747 like when a tugboat guides a barge. The jet represented America. The angel in the tug jet was a promise that God is going to guide America through what the New World Order is planning as he brings us out completely. She was distressed and wondering if we really have accomplished anything when she heard the Lord say, "You were so concerned about the points I've given you that you're not looking at both sides of the storm. I want to tell you, there is good that's going to come out of it." Then he started giving her a list. People will learn to be wiser and more frugal with their money when it comes to spending money that is not reasonable or important. America has become a shop, a major thoroughfare, helping the consumer spend their money on a bunch of unnecessary things. It has to be brought to an end because it will be the people's undoing if it isn't. All these things will be measured. What does that mean? That all of the struggles and all of the financial things that we're seeing and the storm that she was talking about that the Lord showed her, it's going to be measured. That means God is not going to allow it to extend beyond the boundaries he set, and it's going to serve a purpose, every bit of it. He said, I won't let it go any faster or more complete than the nation can tolerate. I'm working with you to keep the evil under the feet of the people and to make sure that it works out best for all. So understand that the people will be wiser and more frugal about their spending. People must learn to sow into what I am leading, not what their flesh is desiring. So that's all that we have to share about this tonight. But I pray that it will be an encouragement to you, and you will see the big picture here. God is trying to deal with our excess as a nation. God is trying to deal with the fraud and the corruption and the abuse, the waste, the fraud, and the abuse, that term we've heard so often. God is trying to deal with that. But in his mercy, he raised up a group of intercessors that would stand in the gap for the nation. And for 26 years, we have been doing so to ensure there isn't a crash, there isn't a collapse, and that the enemy is unable to rip this nation in two. Because the intercessors are here to keep the nation stable and to keep the nation united in the midst of one of the greatest shakings we've experienced in decades. So stay the course, my friends, because God sees it all. Thank you.